Welcome to The Journey with Brandon Bays. This is the unabridged version of the book on tape, read by the author, Brandon Bays. We hope it will be of great inspiration to you. As the book does contain some meditative sections, we highly recommend you listen to these tapes at home rather than driving in your car. And now, Brandon Bays.
This is a book about freedom. Freedom to live your life as you've always dreamt it could be. All of us have issues we feel trapped or limited by in some way, be it anger, depression, grief, anxiety, or fear. Maybe as simple as feeling that there must be something more to life, or as overwhelming as feeling a complete failure. It may be as debilitating as addictions, or as life-threatening as serious illnesses. And yet, no matter how deep the issue is, no matter how much you've struggled with it, the possibility exists for you to become absolutely free, whole, healed. You are capable of getting to the root cause of these issues, finally resolving them, completely letting them go, setting yourself free to live your life at your highest potential, as a full expression of your true self. Through the humbling and profoundly transformative experience of naturally healing from a tumor in only 6.5 weeks, I uncovered a boundless joy and freedom that has been my constant daily experience ever since. This has become the most priceless gift of my life. This book is written as an expression of the deep gratitude that I feel for the powerful journey I underwent, with the prayer that it will be a living tool that will inspire you to embark on your own journey. May you discover the boundless joy that is at the core of your being. This is your invitation to freedom. Are you ready to soar? "Come to the edge," he said. "We can't, Master, we're scared." "Come to the edge," he said. "We can't, Master, we're scared." "Come to the edge," he said. They came. He pushed them. They flew. Freedom is our destiny. Yet we fear taking the very step which will carry us into the greatness which is our own true nature. I once heard a story that each of us comes into this life as a pristine, pure, flawless diamond. And through the trials of growing up and the course of life's pains, our innate brilliance becomes hidden by a load of rubbish. Then, when we become adults, we cover the whole mess with a coat of bright, shiny nail varnish. We present this artificial veneer to the world and wonder why no one seems to think it's that extraordinary. Over time, we may even come to believe that this protective shell is who we really are, and we shape our whole personal identity around it. But if we are very lucky, life presents us with a gift, a wake-up call. Something takes place when, for a moment, we crack through the hardened surface, look past the layers of muck, and catch a glimpse of the radiant brilliance shining from deep within. Then, if we are very, very lucky, we spend the rest of our life journeying homeward into this exquisite beauty and freedom. We discover that we have always been and will always be this pristine, flawless diamond. This is the story of the journey home and the soul's incessant call for us to recognize the greatness inside ourselves. It is your wake-up call, your invitation to finally come home to who you really are. You are that which you are seeking. I woke up that morning in the summer of 1992 and realized I finally had to face whatever it was that had made my tummy grow so large over the last few months. I just couldn't stay in denial any longer. Some part of me knew there was something seriously wrong inside and that I was finally going to have to face the doctors and get it checked out. I didn't want to believe that anything could possibly be wrong with me. Seemed I'd been doing everything right. I'd been extremely health-conscious, proactively conscientious for over 12 years. I ate vibrant, nourishing vegetarian food, drank only pure, clean, filtered water, and rebounded on a mini trampoline every day. I lived in a little cottage on the beach in Malibu, California, and breathed fresh sea air. More important, because of all the personal growth work I'd done over the years, I no longer needed to direct my thoughts along positive lines. That was already happening naturally. I was deeply fulfilled in my marriage, loved my kids, and felt enlivened by and extremely grateful for my work, traveling the world giving seminars, inspiring others to create vibrant health. My life was everything I had ever longed for. I'd spent a lifetime attending workshops and seminars, learning everything I could about healing the body and the spirit. It seemed my entire life was about living the principles of health and well-being. I definitely walked my talk. Yet here I was, faced with a tummy so large that I looked pregnant, though I knew I wasn't. How could this be, when I was doing everything right? Embarrassed and ashamed, I couldn't even admit my fears to even my closest friends. Here I was an expert, teaching others how to take charge of their health, yet I couldn't even zip up my loosest-fitting trousers. For over 15 years, I'd been in the natural healing and alternative health field, and now, faced with a serious health issue, I felt lost at the prospect of going to a regular medical doctor. Though I knew I urgently needed a proper medical diagnosis, I had no idea of where to start or whom to call. Not having the guts to call a friend, and with nowhere else to turn, I decided to check out the local bookshop. I scanned the shelves and found a book written by a surgeon who specialized in women's health issues, one who was known for not taking out all your organs as the first option. I figured she might be an intelligent place to start, and when I called the number at the back of the book, I was surprised and thrilled to get an appointment in only 6 weeks' time. During that time, however, it seemed as if my tummy just blew up in size, and oddly, my period began long before it was due. The night before my appointment, I plucked up the courage to tell one of my best girlfriends, Catherine, what was going on, and asked her if she would accompany me on my visit. When we arrived at the doctor's office, I felt sick at the thought of what might be diagnosed. As Catherine and I sat chatting away, waiting to go in for my examination, I broke out in a cold sweat as fear washed through me in waves. After an hour and a half, the nurse finally came and called us in. The 45-minute examination was painstakingly thorough and seemed to drag on endlessly. The doctor said virtually nothing as I waited to finally hear what I feared most. When she finished, she quietly turned to me and looked me straight in the eyes. In a kind but unemotional voice, she said, "Brandon, you are equivalent to 5 months pregnant with a tumor the size of a basketball." It seemed as if everything started reeling inwardly as I tried desperately to somehow grasp what she had said. I made an awkward attempt at being lighthearted, saying, "Oh, come on, Doc. I mean, aren't we exaggerating a bit here? A basketball? Is that a bit over the top? Basketball is this big," indicating with my hands the size of a basketball, smiling incredulously, and I'm immediately feeling foolish. Not warming to my attempted humor, she became firm and almost cutting, answering, "Would you rather I called it a beach ball? It's this big," indicating a beach ball. "And not only that, it's crushing the rest of your organs. Haven't you noticed you've been out of breath lately?" I nodded and mumbled feebly that I figured it was due to the bloating and weight gain. She said, "It's because this tumor, this pelvic mass, has grown from your pubic area all the way up to your rib cage, touching my body and showing me exactly how much space it occupied, and is pressing against your diaphragm, making it difficult for you to breathe. It's grown so large, you need to go into hospital today to have further tests done so it can be surgically removed." I felt as if someone had knocked the air out of me. I stupidly made a few more feeble attempts at lightening things up before I found the nerve to ask if I could speak to her in her private office. As we walked down the hall, Catherine was chattering away, firing questions at the doctor. I presumed she was trying to buy me time to pull myself together and get my wits about me. We sat down together, and I asked the doctor what exactly it all meant and what my options were. It seemed the more she talked, the more dire she made things sound. Surgery was my only option, an immediate surgery at that. My heart started to pound as the pressure began to build inside. I felt like a trapped animal. I finally had to come out with it. I can't let you do that, Doc. I'm in the mind-body healing field. I've got to be given the chance to walk my talk, to try to heal it my own way. How much time can you give me? She became even more intense and replied that this was not something to take lightly. You don't understand, Brandon, she said. It's not just the size of your tumor. My immediate concern is that I could lose you within a few days because of the amount of blood loss you're experiencing. This is not your period. You are bleeding internally. I began scrambling, negotiating from any angle I could think of. Everything the doctor was saying, I was considering intelligently and logically, and I didn't want to do anything to risk my life, but I felt a strong pull. Somehow, I just had to buy myself some more time. I had to have the chance to undergo my own healing process to give it my best shot. I asked, what if I could stop the bleeding through medical hypnosis or homeopathics or something? Then how much time could you give me? She shook her head in what appeared to be pure exasperation and dropped into a kind but resolutely firm tone that seemed softly patronizing. She said, Brandon, you seem like a very sincere person, and I even believe in alternative natural medicine when the diagnosis calls for it, but your pelvic mass is just too big to even consider it. Indicating the shelves and shelves of books lining her walls as if they were conclusive evidence, she continued, there is not one case history in all of these books of a woman who has healed naturally from a pelvic mass the size of yours. So even though you may have the best intent in the world, I can't in good conscience let you out of here in the condition you're in. As a doctor, I'm in the business of saving lives, and you need to check into the hospital this afternoon. What if you had to give me time? How much time could you give me? I pleaded. And so the negotiation continued, until finally, after another 30 minutes, we reached an agreement that if somehow I could get the bleeding to stop over the next couple of days, I would have 1 month to do what I knew how to do, to give it my best shot. If the symptoms worsened, I would call her immediately, and if after 1 month the pelvic mass was not completely gone, I would come back and let the surgeons do what they knew how to do, remove it surgically. As I left her office, I looked back into her concerned eyes, and at that moment I really saw that she cared. Yet I could also see that there was no doubt in her mind that I would fail at healing myself. Quietly, with a knowing tone in her voice, she said, I'll see you in 1 month's time. Absolutely certain that surgery was my destiny. My heart still pounding, I stepped out into the Los Angeles sunshine and felt that I'd been let out of prison. Though I'd never been very fond of LA, that afternoon, somehow, it seemed to be the most beautiful place on earth. The trees seemed to scintillate with color. The air was intensely fragrant. And I felt incredibly lucky just to be alive. My senses were so aware, so keen, so sharp. Life felt so very, very precious. At that moment, something radical happened. It seemed as if time stopped altogether. In that moment, all fear subsided into a deep calm, and a quiet but certain knowing arose from within. A knowing that I had been given a big wake-up call, and that in fact, this tumor was a gift, that it had something important to teach me, and that somehow I would be guided to heal myself. It wasn't even a question of if I would heal, but how. And though I didn't know what my healing journey would be, somehow I realized that the same part of me that had been responsible for creating the tumor would also be responsible for uncreating it. And in this recognition, I felt the childlike innocence and trust that somehow I would be guided to discover what it was this pelvic mass had to teach me. And so, my healing journey began.